It's Clarissa here. We are back in the limelight with yet another extraordinary entrepreneur this week. Before we get to that, I do want to tell you a few really cool things that are happening around here. We did drop the sixth edition of the In the Limelight magazine today, In the Limelight with Clarissa. There it is. I had to make a little copy of it because we don't have the print yet, but it did drop digitally, and we are so excited because Orazio Pagani is on the cover. That is the supercar master. You want to learn all about him. Again, it is In the Limelight with Clarissa, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. With that having been said, I'm going to remind you where you can listen to the podcast because we've got a new entry there as well. It is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and now we're on Amazon Music. That's the new entry. So excited about that. Don't forget also about this great collaboration I'm getting with my news desk. My news desk is a great place for you to PR with your company, find journalists all over the world, and find the and have analytics behind that whole piece as well, which is really exciting. So you can access thousands of journalists' contacts, again, globally, which is really cool. And those analytics that, you know, it's a great, you know, people say, well, you know, this is how you tell them what the numbers are. So get with mynewsdesk.com if you're looking to get your story out, a PR piece out, a press release out. Very excited. The TV portion of In the Limelight is becoming a network. And so we're excited to say that this video will be seen also on Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android TV, Amazon Fire, and I could be here all day because it's going to be shown on millions of televisions all over the world. So we're so excited that In the Limelight is moving in that direction. With that having been said, let's bring her on. I really felt as though it was a great time to be talking about parenting during COVID. We talk a lot to a lot of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, lots of women, and they're talking about some of the challenges about, you know, staying at home when the children are at home and how they're working through all the parenting. Well, I brought on Chantal Bisson. So there she is in all of her beautiful glory, coming from Toronto, Canada, a lovely lady who has been in the creative realm, whether actressing or doing a million other things she's going to tell us about. But she as a mother herself, wrote a book. It's a very cool book, very exciting to know that there are, let me get that up here a second. So we can show everybody just how beautiful, Chantal, your book is. You love pink, as do I.
I know.
Raising your kids without losing your cool. Okay. Deep breath, everybody.
Yes.
It couldn't be easy, Chantal, in these times with those kids home. Do tell.
No, I mean, honestly, it's great to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited and I feel grateful. You know, I'm a serial entrepreneur as well. So for me, I've always kind of been balancing and juggling the mom role and my ambitions. So it was a no-brainer for me to write the book for a lot of reasons. And the cool thing with this book is it's a early stage parenting book. The nuts and bolts of what to expect when you're expecting, whether through adoption, surrogacy, or pregnancy. It kind of helps you set up your home, set up your mindset of like, how do we want this person to turn out? You know, because I think a lot of times we look at parenting in these like little microcosms rather than the big picture. And this book really talks about like starting from birth, who do you want your child to become when they grow up? Do you want them to be somebody who's respectful, somebody who appreciates that a line is a line and there's no butting?
Yeah. So kind of like reverse engineer your child. What do I want them to be when they're 30? And let's work back from there. Okay.
Exactly. So the book is really takes you from start to double digits. And, you know, I've had a little, not pushback, but a lot of questions on why did you stop at 10? Well, the real reason is because what you're dealing with from birth to 10 and what you're dealing with from 10 to 18, they're actually like two different human beings. It's literally like getting an alien once they kind of turn into double digits. And I didn't want to overwhelm or freak parents out. Like, you can't talk about the trials of breastfeeding in the next chapter, talk about, you know, eating disorders or, you know, blowjob parties and these kinds of real teen issues. So I made a conscious decision first to separate the book into two parts. So there's a kid part. I'm currently writing the teen version now. So, I want to say to all parents who are listening, if you're an entrepreneur parent or if you're just like a stay-at-home parent, the reality is that we're all in the same predicament with this pandemic. We're all in a place where we've never been before. We don't know if there's an end in sight as far as our lives opening back up and going back to quote unquote normal. And I think that we're all dealing with the same pressures of like, well, how do I make sure they're staying up on their schoolwork? Like, that's a very, very real fear for parents. Is my child going to fall behind? I'm not, you know, I was terrible at homeschooling my kids. So they went to school because I knew I didn't have that strength. And that wasn't a natural character trait that I embodied, or I would have become a school teacher. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that the real thing that we need to focus on as parents right now during the pandemic, and I congratulate all the parents who are in the thick of it and have a little bit of my hand goes off to you. I did my parenting journey in, you know, normal life and being able to have tutors and being able to have help with them when they were struggling right. at school, and they had their extracurricular activities and they had their friends and they had their normal day-to-day activities. Yeah. So I understand, like, because, you know, not only do we always wear that hat as a mom of being like their entertainment, their chauffeur, the nurse,
but it's right. now you're a teacher.
You're a teacher. So I think the main thing I want to stress to anybody who's parenting during the pandemic, actively parenting, I'm on the other side, obviously, with adult children, is to have patience with yourself, patience with your children. Give yourself a lot of grace, give them a lot of grace, give yourselves a lot of leeway, and take time apart every day, whether that's like you go for a walk alone, or, you know, I've had this question a lot. I feel guilty for putting them in front of a movie with a bowl of chips. Don't. Do what you need to do to keep your stamina up and to keep your mental well-being strong.
Put your mask on first, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the oxygen mask that we hear on the plane, not the mask, not the COVID mask, the oxygen mask. Oh my God, how many masks do we have to put on it? So how many hats do we have to wear, right?
All the hats.
What was it that, I mean, that was happening in your life that really, you know, drove you to want to write a book, you know, such as, you know, keeping your cool while raising your kids? I think I said that backwards, but raising your kids with, you know, without losing your cool, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's a play on words. And, it, you know, I say without losing your cool because it's just not possible, right? You're going to lose your cool. So also the book is like a toolbox of what to do when you do lose your cool and how do you come back from those places, right? Because we're so bred for perfectionism, especially now with social media being like the standard, the gold standard of how we should live and how we should look to the rest of the world. So to me, the book really came to pass for multifaceted. My mom was a great single parent mom, and I was really in awe of all that she accomplished in being a single mom. And there was a lot that she did that I wanted to impart on my kids, which I did. And then, you know, my husband and I both come from divorced families, and we managed to build a healthy, strong family structure. So I thought, well, that's kind of cool.
Great motivator, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be a product of your environment or your circumstance.
Absolutely.
So, I was inspired by the fact that we'd done a good job as well. And then I watched as our youngest daughter, as she was growing up, how parenting had really had done a massive shift. You know, when I was raising our older girls, parenting was really aligned and like, oh, yeah, you know, if I say no or if I have a rule, I actually
know.
You know, I have that expectation that'll be followed. When I watched as my younger daughter and the kids below her, how it became more like the kids were running the show and the kids were in charge of the parents. And I noticed how, in my opinion, I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a social worker and I didn't study children, but I noticed from observing them that kids seemed to were starting to become more insecure. Do you know? And I wondered if that it maybe wasn't related to the free-for-all they were experiencing at home without, you know, looser guidelines, looser structure, sort of no consequence for action, letting the child to tell you what they need. And I agree with all that. We do need to listen to our children. I'm not saying don't listen to your children, but I'm saying like somebody needs to be in charge. Like somebody needs to wear the grown-up hat.
Absolutely. I think discipline is a word. You know, otherwise you're just going to have hellions on your hands and that's not 100%.
Good. 100%. And so, you know, I felt very passionately about putting really excellent, high quality people out in the world. And I wanted to encourage other parents who felt like maybe they were a little bit more traditional in their ideas, like new parents, and they weren't seeing that represented anywhere out in the world anymore and felt like the odd duck. Like, oh, I want to have consequences. I want to have structure. I want to discipline. And I wrote the book to say, like, when you do this, it does work out. Because I find it fascinating that a lot of parents have gone away from those ideals, but we have so much respect and admiration for athletes. Well, how do we think athletes become athletes?
Right.
Discipline.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So yeah. that's where the notion of this book needed to be written came from.
Well, I want to ask you a couple of the tips, especially now that, you know, we're going to turn around here. It's going to be the holidays and the kids are going to be home again. You know, we know sort of I'm not a parent, but, you know, the kids just kind of went back to school after not being in school for so long, right? We had the summer, then they didn't go back, then it was a prolonged summer, and then they finally went back, and then it was only half day. You know, it's kind of like now they're coming back again for probably a month, if not more, for the holidays. So how can we get parents prepared? I mean, we know we love our kids, we really love kids, but again, there is a factor. Anyway, just a quick sidebar, I was talking to a friend of mine that I had interviewed not too long ago, who's got a winery up in Napa.
Yeah.
This is sales have skyrocketed. You know, wine is just flying off the shelves. It's one of the ways that people are coping. Yeah. I don't know if it's the best coping mechanism, but it is a coping mechanism. So here's a couple of tips, if you wouldn't mind, of you know, what we can find in the book.
Yeah, I like to say, going back to the wine comment, I like to say that I didn't drink any alcohol until I had teenagers, and then I became a teenaholic. What I mean, it was like, thanks to my kids, I needed more. I needed martinis. Like, it was not even just wine; it was stiff.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? I think the thing is that there's no sort of blanket answer for this, because again, this is unprecedented, right? None of us have ever experienced what we're experiencing right now. And I always say, and I say this to my daughters who are, you know, having anxiety about it, and they're adults, you know, they pay their own bills and stuff. So I think that what's really, really important for parents is to try to have an idea, like a schedule in mind of what you want to see accomplished when they're home for these prolonged periods of time. You know, say like on Mondays, maybe we're gonna do these things. And it can be whatever you want. Like, we're gonna go on a family hike, we're gonna take this time alone, or we're going to watch a program together. Like, try to have a schedule, because schedules help us to feel like we're having some sort of normalcy, right? So I think it's really important to know your family, obviously, know your kids' interests, know their needs, and try to make sure that every day you have a plan, so that the days are not just chaotic, right? Like, you're just waking up and being like, feeling like either you're living in Groundhog Day or feeling like you're overwhelmed before your feet even hit the ground. So I use Sundays kind of like meal prep. You know, a lot of people do meal prep. I don't do it, but people who meal prep do it on Sunday.
Right.
And I would say that Sunday's a good reset day, you know, and look at like, okay, what do we want to do? And have family meetings. Like, take a poll. What do you want to do? What do you feel like you're not getting enough of from me? And then, you know, make a plan, lay it out, and then try to stick to it as best as you can, because we all do better with some structure and some schedule. And then also have free time.
Yeah, make it fun.
Yeah, free time. And I talk about it a lot in my book.
Oh, free time. Yeah, free time, sure.
Well, you know, because I think that another dangerous thing that parents have gotten on the hamster wheel of is this like overprogramming. You know, our kids, young kids, you see them overprogrammed to death, and their inability to actually focus and enjoy things is greater when they're doing too much.
How do we get them off their devices?
Yeah. Well, we had a rule, and I talk about it in my book, that, you know, no device meals, just put them aside. And then, you know, I have this game that you can get it out of the book about, you, everybody puts money in when they successfully, and whoever wins at the end of the week of not having touched their phone gets the kitty, you know? So right. I think it's all about finding reasons to motivate your children to want to not to do the things that have become these maybe not great habits, which is too much time on devices and too much time playing video games. So I think that that's where going back to the schedule and having a structure and having a plan and getting your children's input on what they would like to see, how they'd like to see their roll out, and some things that they want to do that maybe you guys have never done together, that they're really curious about, they're really interested about, and just really pulling everybody in together to make it a family group effort.
My gosh, it could be something as simple as a board game. You know, I have a good friend in Rob Angel, who created Pictionary, for example.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine, and I interviewed him. He's actually in the magazine as well, because we have him as our book review this time.
Tell them I love him.
Yes, I know. He's awesome. And, you know, something as simple as a board game, a puzzle. Puzzles are flying off the shelves.
I know.
So much fun. What a concept. Sit around the table. You have your hot, you know, your hot chocolate, whatever it is, and you just have some fun time.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because our girls, again, I'm going back to it and I'm harping on it, but they were like 29 and 23 when we were quarantined in LA, and they did. They bought puzzles and coloring books and watercolor, and we did them as families. And it's that simple. And even if they are on their device, even though there's that game Heads Up, there's lots of fun things to do. Lots of fun.
Here's another really cool thing that I saw. I'm sure you've heard of it too, where the parents or a mother will say, okay, if you want an hour on your cell phone, you know, and so all the chores in the house have a certain amount of time on the device. So if you sweep, you know, the kitchen floor, you get an extra 15 minutes. If you know, empty the dishwasher, you get an extra 20 minutes. So that, you know, that kind of thing. And then it all adds up, and that's the amount of time they are allowed on their devices. Obviously, if they're not using it for homework, this is extracurricular time on devices. And I thought that was rather genius as well. I guess it keeps them accountable. And at the same time, they're earning the time on the device.
Well, yeah, because I mean, like, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, like, you'd get 10 cents for making your bed, 5 cents for taking out the trash, right? And because we're such a wealthy society, even, you know, those of us who aren't wealthy, I say that in that
case. We're blessed.
You know, that's kind of gone by the wayside because it's so easy to just give to your kids on an ongoing basis that, you know, the chore thing, you know, the reward for the chore thing has kind of gone away. And I am a big fan of that. And that's a great recommendation. But I also really love, and we did it, go back to the simple things in life. And I talk about it in my book as well, like coloring and all these interactive games and activities that cause you to like actually spend time with your child, talking to them and learning about them.
Right. Okay, everybody on the ticket, you can see ChantelBisson.com. Chantel, I'm going to put the book back up, Raising Your Kids Without Losing Your Cool. Where can we find the book?
You can find it at Walmart.com, on all the Amazons. And I think, and if you're in Canada watching this, Amazon.ca.
I love the cover. You know that color pink? I know you and I have something in common. But we love our pink. I'm going to take that off. Give me an idea just before we close the show as to what moms are saying, what kind of feedback you're getting from moms after reading the book.
Well, I'm getting a lot of feedback that people like are grateful that I'm just telling it like it is, that it's not sugarcoated. Because I think a lot of times too, moms struggle with, again, going back to that feeling like they're not perfect and they're not doing it right, and that they're the only one that wants to pull their hair out. So I've got a lot of feedback. Like, thank you for, you know, hearing me. I see myself in this book. I see myself in this. Like, I've been feeling guilty because it doesn't feel like all rainbows and butterflies. I've been struggling and feeling like maybe I'm just not good at this. So I've been getting a lot of that feedback of moms feeling that they're not alone. And again, I've been getting a lot of positive feedback. Oh, well, thank you for giving me an idea. Well, how can I discipline in a way that makes sense? Because I don't know anybody who is disciplining, but I want to discipline. So a lot of it has been pretty, pretty positive. And there's been some people who, I talk about having sex a lot because, and actually I end every chapter that way, because for me, I feel like another not so great trend in the parenting has been, I've witnessed like a lot of parents are putting the children at the front of the relationship and of the household, and they're letting their partner go by the wayside. And the reality is that you, again, it goes back to putting your mask on first. You've got to do things that bring you joy, that bring you peace, that bring you pleasure, that help you feel good in your skin, being close and intimate with your partner is one of those things. And so I harp on that a lot, about making sure that the unit of the couple is strong and is a priority. And when you're both in a good place and you're feeling close and connected, it's way easier to deal with the stuff that goes off the rails. That's the feedback I've been getting, is that mostly people feel heard.
Thanks for being real and giving me, being also feeling part of the community, you know, having a voice also is so important. Let me ask you this. What kind of grandparent do you think you're going to be? And is there a book in your future about how to keep your cool as a grandparent? Because that's a whole nother world, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we're getting a great deal of practice because we have grand dogs. So our older daughter and her husband have a dog. He actually was just here. He just left a few minutes earlier before I jumped on with you. And our middle daughter has rescue in LA. So she was the first grand dog, and she takes her role as primary grand dog very seriously. And I can assure you, we are the worst. We are going to be those grandparents that our kids are like, enough.
Yeah.
They live with us. We can buy them clothes. We can take
them. We got this.
We're gonna be like this. We're gonna be getting a lot of pushback.
that is so great. All right, one more time. I'm gonna share the book, Raising Your Kids Without Losing Your Cool. Everyone, we can listen to Chantal Bisson. Again, ChantalBisson.com. There she is, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to thank you so much for being with us. It's been a little piece of heaven to have you with us today. Everybody, don't forget that we are going to be here again next week for yet another extraordinary entrepreneur right here with me, Clarissa Burke. Say goodbye, Chantal.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the In the Limelight podcast, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. You can listen to this and all of my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. You'll find all of my videos and the In the Limelight digital magazine on ClarissaBurke.com. And don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.